I went to the doctor. All he did was suck blood from my neck. Do not go see Dr. Acula.
One trainer put me on the no-carb, the Atkins. They said after a week you won't have any carb cravings. I felt lied to. I had cravings. When you drive by a bakery and you jump out of a moving vehicle, that's a craving. I had hallucinations. I thought Dr. Phil was on my front lawn. John, come out here and exercise. You can't be big if your lifestyle won't allow it.
Wilson, what are you doing?
Hi-ho, Jim. I'm just testing my maracas.
Usually when I have mine tested, the doctor makes me turn my head and cough.
I'm the doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
Oh, help me, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Oh, my. 11 minutes after 3 on a Wednesday afternoon, and hi, I'm Rob Snow. So great to be with you. It's the last Wednesday house call for Dr. Barry Dworkin for a few weeks, and as a matter of fact, right after he gets off the air here, so you can call in and say goodbye to Dr. Barry Dworkin. Well, see you later, Dr. Barry Dworkin, at 521-521-8255, *580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-CFRA. You are going to Kenya.
Indeed,
family holiday to Kenya for the summer.
Family holiday to Kenya.
That is going to be a lot of fun. How exciting is that?
It's very exciting. Wow. Well, it's all organized and very happy to be going.
You fly out of Montreal.
Yeah.
Yep. How long does it take to get to Kenya?
Well, you fly from Montreal and you go to Doha in Qatar.
Okay.
And so that's a 12.5-hour flight.
Wow.
And then they lay over for 9 hours in Qatar, but the airline gives a hotel room because it's more than 8 hours.
Oh. Ah.
And then from Doha to Nairobi the next day,
right.
Which is about 5.5-hour flight. It's okay. 66,000 over 6,000 miles from Montreal to Doha, and then
you've bought carbon credits to offset all of this, of course.
<That's right>. Absolutely.
No, listen. Have a spectacular trip.
We're
it sounds like a lot of
it.
Fun. You're doing the safari and yep. the whole thing. That'll be yep. a lot of fun. And from a medical standpoint, you had to.
We had
load
to
load up on what for this trip?
Well, everybody has their hepatitis A and B vaccine, meningitis to cover all forms of meningitis, typhoid, Dukoral, which covers cholera and E. coli, Malarone, which is for malaria.
My goodness.
And I've taken a surgical kit with me and antibiotics and other things to treat in case anybody gets sick.
Well, have a wonderful time. You're back on the air.
Back on the air on the, actually, I'll be doing my show on the, I believe it's the 28th.
Okay.
The Sunday the 28th.
Okay, so if you have a 29th, question for Dr. Barry Dworkin, I mean, yeah. here's a good opportunity. I would encourage you to call early, as is normally the case that the phone lines tend to fill up as mm-hmm. we make our way through the hour. So let me give the phone numbers again at 521-TALK, 521-8255. *580 is a free phone call if you're on Bell Mobility. And 1-800-580-CFRA. We already have some calls, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Blackburn Hamlet. Catherine.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Dworkin.
Hi.
I need to lose some weight, and I usually have difficulty doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And someone has recommended to me the Smart for Life cookie diet.
Smart for Life?
Cookie diet.
A
cookie diet?
Yes.
Please, tell me more, Catherine. What do you know about the cookie diet? I can eat cookies and lose weight?
What I know about it is that you eat 6 cookies a day.
Right.
And 10 to 12 ounces of protein in the evening, or 5 cups of salad. You can split that with between lunch and dinner. But I understand it's very successful in the Montreal area. I have heard of people losing 50, 60, 100 pounds.
Well, the issue is not necessarily how many pounds they lose over the short term, but I can tell you that with any diet, and this is, frankly, this diet is sort of ridiculous because all it is restricting your calories and making you think that it's something special because you're eating cookies. But really, what happens whenever somebody dramatically changes how they eat and they do things that are more restrictive, that is, they end up over time finding that they are unhappy with the food that they're now allotted to eat, eventually they get fed up with the diet. And that's why there are many diet books, because none of them work. And ultimately, although those people may lose 50, 60 pounds, I can guarantee you that the majority of them will have gained back 80 to 100 pounds, because this is the classic yo-yo dieting phenomenon where you change things so much, you lose the weight, you get fed up of eating that way, you go back to the way you were eating before, and you gain the weight back.
Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, colleague of yours, right. Friend of yours, you hear his advertisements
yes.
here on CFRA from BMI, the Bariatric mm-hmm. Medical Institute, is an expert in weight loss.
Exactly.
And what you hear over and over again from him is, can you picture yourself living this way forever?
That's exactly right.
I could eat cookies forever.
my concern and the reason for my calling you
yes.
is that it would interfere perhaps with my my medication. And that was my concern.
Yeah, the diet itself is not a diet I would do. The general people are looking for rapid weight loss. The point is that I don't want people to lose weight too quickly, because that implies, again, a dramatic change in how they eat, a severe reduction in the number of calories they're taking in, and that is not sustainable. Sustainable weight loss is on the order of, on average, 1 to 2 pounds a month. And that way, over a year, it's 25 pounds, over 2 years, depending on what your goal is. But 1 to 2 pounds a month is 100 to 200 calories less a day, considering if we assume that the person is not gaining any more weight. And so what that means, and there are a whole bunch of good books out there that help people understand why it is they eat, what triggers their eating, the environment that they're in, and helps them understand how to change the environment around them in order to reduce the risk of overeating. And so there's one of the books is called Mindless Eating by Dr. Brian Wansink. He's the director of the Food and Brand Lab at Cornell University. And it's written for the public. It gives excellent, excellent details about how we tend to overeat and what triggers our eating. For example, Rob, I don't know if you know, say if you take, just take yourself sitting at a table and eating a meal, right?
Okay.
And we take that as
being... Is this a meal of cookies?
It's whatever meal you like, whatever makes you happy. And you have that particular meal. We call that your baseline meal, okay?
All right.
When you go out with somebody and go out to eat, you are going to eat 25% more than what you normally would if you ate alone. When you get up to a group of people, 5 or 6 people, and this is over and over again, you look at the data and this is what happens, you eat 100% more. So you double the amount of food intake when you eat with a whole group of people.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
Consistently, when he did these studies, Dr. Wansink did these studies, consistently, this is what happened. The plate sizes, your plate sizes.
Yeah, the
make
bigger
a huge
the plate you have, the
you
more
will fit,
you'll eat.
That's right. So you have to reduce your plate sizes.
I mean, this is, we've talked about this book
yeah.
in the past.
Yeah.
You know, they did a sneaky little trick, and didn't they put a hole in the bottom of a
bottomless
bowl of soup, and people just kept eating the soup.
That's right.
The bowl never got empty, so they kept eating.
That's
right.
So there are ways to lose weight, but it's not just a matter of the food. It's a matter of understanding the psychology.
You know, I just
as well.
Googled this cookie diet,
yeah.
and Catherine, thanks for your call. We're going to have to move along, and immediately it pops up Dr. Siegel's cookie diet,
yeah,
as seen
Siegel.
On Good Morning America. There you go.
Quackery is everywhere.
Wow. Wow. It's tempting. I tell you, it's tempting. Mac in Ottawa.
But that's the whole point.
Sure. Mac.
Yes, hi.
Hi, go ahead, Mac.
Yeah, well, first of all, good luck, Dr. Dworkin, on your Africa trip.
Thanks.
I give you the ability to do that. I have a probably a similar interest to yours. I do and teach karate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just turning 61, and
wow.
I have a bit of a problem with one knee. And I went to the sports medicine clinic about 2 years ago.
Right.
And they did a whole bunch of things. They did MRI, X-ray, ultrasound, and so on. And what they found was that I have a degenerative arthritis under the patella, under the kneecap,
right.
and that it's basically destroyed any of the anything that's normally under the kneecap, and it's becoming sort of like a cheese grater bone on bone.
Right.
And I was advised that there's not much they can do in terms of any kind of lasting fix for that, that I was just going to have to moderate my activity.
And
now, I went to...
Go ahead, sorry.
I went to my GP this year for an annual.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, let's see. There's other things that we can explore. I'm going to send you to a specialist, and we'll take a look at a knee replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking, first of all, I know that hip replacements have been fairly successful, and the technology has advanced quite a bit in recent years with titanium joints and so on, and that they have a fairly good endurance.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is that the knee replacement technology is not quite there, and once you go that route and it does wear out, then there's no going back, and I could be worse off than I am now.
Well, I had a partial knee replacement that has been working very well. I can do all my karate that I've wanted to do. I go 5 times a week, and when you kneel down at the beginning, just... I have to adjust a little bit because the knee can't fully flatten out when you're bending, but it really does not restrict me from doing any of the katas or sparring or any of the kumites, anything like that. I can do all of that stuff. So
any of the twisting or torque motions or anything
like
that?
It's not a problem. In fact, there are now second-generation knee replacements where they actually the knee can twist. It's not just a hinge. So it will twist and move as well. So it really depends on... how they replace, what they're going to replace. But if you're finding and if there is a medical indication for replacing the joint, that is, you fulfill the criteria for that, given your age now at 61, these knee replacements will last pretty much for the time that you are going to be doing karate for the rest of your life. So that is certainly an option if, again, the orthopedic surgeon says, you know, there's a medical indication and we can actually try and fix this and try this out. Again, if it is a quality of life thing and it's really stopping you from doing what you love to do, then I would suggest go ahead. And if they give the go-ahead to do it, I would do it.
The phone lines are jammed. Everybody wants to get their question in.
Okay.
Before you head to Africa. So Colin and Greeley, hang on the line. He has a question about gallbladder surgery. We have Madeline from Woodlawn who has a question about Champix, the smoking cessation drug, and whether or not it is an antidepressant.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that when we come back after the news.
Now, what starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that starts with C. Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, C
all right,
is for cookie.
Thank you for that. Dr. Barry Dworkin, last chance to have at Dr. Barry Dworkin. He'll be on his annual holiday for the next few weeks. So if you have a health-related question, it's 521-TALK, 521-8255, *580 on Bell Mobility, or 1-800-580-CFRA. And I just want to point out, I mean, I know it's not beach weather, but once again, every single beach in Ottawa is closed. Britannia Beach, and this is all because of E. coli, every single one because of E. coli. No swim advisory due to rainfall. Britannia Beach, Mooney's Bay, Westboro, Petrie Island River, and Petrie Island East Bay Beach. All closed because of high counts of E. coli after the rain.
We are surrounded by a toilet bowl.
It's unbelievable. Let's go to Linda in Gloucester. She's been waiting for quite some time. Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was watching Suzanne Summers on Canada AM this morning.
Oh, boy.
She was talking about the Indian spices, turmeric and cumin.
Right.
In our diet.
Mm-hmm.
And the health benefits of that.
Okay.
What's your opinion on Indian spices?
Well, there has been some evidence that it is helpful. For example, there was a study that they did with turmeric and prostate cancer to see if it had a great effect. Didn't find too much. There's nothing wrong with consuming spices. They taste good. They liven up food.
Especially Indian spices.
So there's but the problem is people like Suzanne Summers, who will seize upon one or two studies and tout this as if she knows what she's talking about. The point is that what we eat in our diet, what we consume in our diet, is not dependent upon, in terms of health, is not dependent upon one or two spices or one or two types of foods. It is a conglomeration of healthy foods that we eat, staying away from things that aren't overly healthy or nutritious for us. But to point out, oh, add more turmeric or add more cumin to your diet is somehow going to improve your health, there is no evidence that it does that. There is evidence that when you have a diet consistent with using those amongst other foods, that you will have that there are health benefits. But to say one or these, to tout this is the thing that's going to make you healthy, just shows her ignorance, frankly.
Let's go to Madeline, who has a question about Champix. Go ahead, Madeline.
Thank you. Dr. Dworkin, yes. Is Champix an antidepressant?
No, it's not.
Good.
Champix interferes with nicotine. It prevents the nicotine from binding to nicotine receptors. It competes with it. Now, there are warnings with Champix and people who have a history of depression that it can exacerbate depression for some people. Now, what was interesting is that just this past week, they have, it was in the Archives of General Psychiatry, they found the link between people who were heavy smokers, and when they stopped smoking, many of the people became depressed, whether they were using something or not.
That's not entirely surprising, though, is it? Given the effects of cigarette smoking, that
a good friend cigarettes.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that they found out what happens in the brain to stimulate that depression. And what happens when you stop the cigarettes, when you stop, at least in the people they looked at in this study, when you stopped smoking, there's an enzyme in the brain called monoamine oxidase. It simply is designed to break down serotonin so that when your brain is transmitting information, it doesn't sit and overstimulate the nerve. So it's part of the normal process. And serotonin is necessary amongst other medications, other neurotransmitters, noradrenaline being one, dopamine being another, that is responsible for maintaining normal mental health. So when you stop smoking, this enzyme level shoots up. Mm. And when it shoots up, it takes away or breaks down those neurotransmitters more quickly than it should because there's more of it. And so you get less serotonin, less noradrenaline, less dopamine, and hence a person becomes more depressed because right. That's one of the models for depression. And so when somebody is, for example, taking Champix now, they're stopping their smoking. So when they stop their smoking, this level will go up and they might get depressed. So is it the Champix that's doing it? Or is it the fact that they've now stopped smoking?
The cessation itself.
So it's a very interesting
association. So I think at the heart of the question is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Madeline, but if you have a history of depression, is it safe to take Champix?
I don't have a history of it. So.
Yes, if you don't have a history of depression, then there's no...
And I need to stop smoking.
Yeah, then there's no contraindication for taking Champix if you do not have depression. I would still speak to your doctor to make sure there's nothing else, other medications you're taking.
Oh, but they can't tell me because I'm on a drug from the United States for claudication in my leg.
Right.
And you're not supposed to take an antidepressant with that.
Right, but this is not an antidepressant, so that's not going
to
be an issue.
To worry too much about
that. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so
gotcha.
I'm crazy.
Good luck with the effort.
Thank you. Have a marvelous trip.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Let me ask you this then.
Yes.
Are levels of serotonin, one of the other things that happens to you when you try to quit smoking is the irritability and the anxiety and what have you that people have. You get short-tempered and what have you. Is that related to serotonin or is that just simply the nicotine withdrawal?
I think most of it is the nicotine withdrawal because it's a very quick effect. You stop smoking and within a few days you're pretty irritable. Right. So the depression that you usually see takes a while to develop. It's not something that will happen within a few days.
I miss my cigarette.
That's right. Yeah. It's likely the nicotine withdrawal itself that will do that.
All right. There is a weather warning for the upper Gatineau area. I had the newsroom check in I swore I heard some thunder here just moments ago, and the weather channel is showing the big, the red screen of death there with the weather warning. So... but a wind warning, basically, wind gusts in the upper Gatineau, 90 kilometers an hour. Mm. So just in case people are wondering about what's going on with the weather there, you have it. And, if I could, I just want to inform people that with about 15 minutes to go in the trading day, the Toronto Stock Index is up 94 points, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 460 points, and the selling seems to be accelerating, but we'll get more on that later. Colin is in Greeley and has a question about gallbladder surgery. Colin, go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Dworkin.
Hi.
Yes, my wife is having surgery in September.
Yes.
And she's wondering what she's basically looking ahead to. Can she have freezing and laughing gas, or does she need to be knocked out?
Usually they use general anesthetic to do this. You can't use laughing gas. You're doing major abdominal surgery, so you can't be awake for something like this.
They have to put you to sleep.
And one of the reasons why you can't be awake for this is that if you even try to do a spinal anesthetic, the area that you have to freeze is too high up in the back, and that runs the risk of stopping you from breathing because it's just too high up if you're going to try and freeze that area. But the gallbladder surgery now, because they use laparoscopic techniques, it's a series of three incisions, small incisions that are made in the abdomen. It's day surgery. You go in, you're under anesthesia, you do the procedure, and then by the afternoon, you're revived, and you go
home. They wheel you out.
Yeah. So it's much, much better than what it used to be, where they had to actually cut along the rib, you know, the lower part of your rib to get to the gallbladder.
Oh, yeah, you get a big scar and
the big scar that doesn't have to happen anymore. So it's a very straightforward surgery, very successful surgery. And unfortunately, though, she's going to have to be put out for this.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, thank you, Colin, for your call. After gallbladder surgery, you know, they wheel you out, they send you home. How long before you're up and around, usually?
It depends on the person's age and overall fitness. But in
he didn't sound too old.
Yeah, in general, you know, usually you're looking at about 4 to 7 days.
About a week.
Yeah, about a week or so.
All right. This will be the last call, and then Dr. Dworkin is off to Africa. The Adventures of Dr. Dworkin. Ted in Calabogie. Ted.
Yes.
Yes, Ted, Dr. go ahead.
Dworkin.
Yes.
Last Christmas, I weighed about 250-odd pounds.
Right.
Today, I weigh about 205, and I'm looking to go to about 190.
Okay.
And I'm 76 years old.
Wow. Right.
Now, my wife was watching a program on Dr. Oz with another doctor who had a book called The 17-Day Diet. I don't know if you've read it or seen it or not.
I tend not to read diet books because they all have variations of the same theme.
Anyhow, what it did was change our lifestyle of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first month, I lost about 25 pounds. And it was all in the belly. I was a Santa Claus belly.
Right.
And it went from there, and every 17 days, they would change the concept of what foods you would eat and everything.
Right.
And I'd never ate yogurt in my life.
Right.
And now I eat it twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And after losing the weight, and this is August now, I'm still at the weight that, and I go off the diet once in a while.
Right.
I enjoy red wine, but I'm amazed that by changing my lifestyle as far as eating and having fish and turkey and less red meat and everything else, and every morning my wife gives me a full bowl of fresh berries, and I just wanted to relate that to you because I listen to your show a lot, and people my age shouldn't give up if they want to lose weight.
Well, that's exactly right. And in effect, what you've done is you've altered your lifestyle and reduced your caloric intake. It's always the currency of weight loss is calories. And so the diet itself, the 17-day diet, all it did was change the foods that you ate, lower calorie foods, less quantity. And as a result, you lost the weight, and that's what it is, and has to be sustainable. It has to be
50 pounds.
As Ted mentioned, he's still sticking with it from most of the time. I mean, he says he has red wine once in a while, but you have to live too. You can't live a life of restriction and get frustrated because that's a recipe for disaster. But it is simply a matter of reducing the calories and looking at the foods that you're eating.
While you're away, I'll eat nothing but cookies, and we'll see how we do by the time you come back from your holiday. By the way, the 17-day diet is brought to you by Dr. Michael Raphael Marino, better known as Dr. Mike. As seen on TV.
As seen on TV.
Well, Dr. Dworkin, have a wonderful trip.
Thank you.
And we'll miss you while you're away. And safe travels back.
Thank you very much. And be back in 3 weeks from now.
Three weeks. Okay. Yeah. Dr. Barry Dworkin in the Wednesday House Call on 580 CFRA.